This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to handle a difficult conversation when you are the manager, but the employee has more technical expertise. Lead with authority when the person across from you knows more than you do. In short, managing someone with deeper technical knowledge than you does not strip you of authority. Your role gives you legitimate ground to address behaviour, professional standards, and team impact regardless of who knows more about the work itself. Prepare carefully, lead with what you observed, and keep the conversation anchored to outcomes. Definition: a difficult conversation manager approach addresses performance, behaviour, or interpersonal concerns between a manager and an employee directly. It requires clear preparation, specific observations, and the courage to speak plainly about impact, even when the employee holds deeper subject matter knowledge than the manager does. I watched a good manager shrink once. She had run operations for 12 years. She was sharp, trusted, and fair. But she had a senior engineer on her team who made her feel like she did not belong in the same room. Every time she tried to address his behavior, his dismissiveness, his tendency to override colleagues without explanation, he buried her in technical language until she backed down. She told me later, "I kept thinking, who am I to challenge him? He knows the stuff inside out." That belief cost her the respect of every other person on that team. A difficult conversation manager situation like that one is one of the most common traps in leadership. Your authority is real. Your responsibility is real. Neither of those things disappears because the person across from you has a deeper understanding of the code, the system, or the science. What disappears is your confidence, if you let it. This article gives you a process to hold that conversation well. What you need to settle before you say a word. The trap that catches most managers before a difficult conversation even begins is confusion about what kind of authority they actually have. You do not need to know more than your employee to manage them well. You need to be clear on your lane. Your lane is this behavior, professional standards, team relationships, and outcomes. Their lane is the technical work itself. These are distinct. When a senior developer dismisses a colleague's concern without explanation, that is a behavior concern. It does not matter whether the developer was technically correct. How they handled it is yours to address. Before any conversation, write two things down. First, the specific thing you observed, what happened, when it happened, and who was affected. Second, the impact, what changed as a result, what risk it created, or how it affected the team. If you cannot write those two things clearly, you are not ready to speak. This preparation is not bureaucratic caution. It is the foundation your confidence will stand on. If you walk into that room with a vague sense that something is wrong, a skilled expert will sense the gap and the conversation will slide away from you. If you walk in with two clear sentences you could read aloud, you stay on solid ground. The six-step process for managing the conversation. Step 1. Open without apology. Start the conversation by naming its purpose clearly. Do not open with qualifications about your own limitations. Do not say, "I know you understand this better than I do," but that sentence hands away every ounce of authority before you've used it. Instead, say something direct. "I want to talk about what happened in Tuesday's planning meeting, specifically how the discussion ended and what effect that had on the team." You're naming an event and signaling a purpose. That is enough. A clean opening sets the frame for everything that follows. If you struggle to start this kind of conversation without it becoming immediately tense, the preparation in that linked piece will help. Step 2. State what you observed, not what you concluded. This is where most managers drift into trouble. They say what they think the behaviour means rather than what they actually saw. "You are dismissive of your colleagues" is a conclusion. "You interrupted Marcus 3 times before he finished his point, and then the room went quiet for the rest of the session" is an observation. State the observable facts first, then pause. Give the employee a moment to respond before you move forward. This matters especially with technical experts, because sometimes there is genuine context you do not have. You want to hear it, just not as a way of abandoning the concern. Step 3. Name the impact without inflating it. After you state what you observed, name what it cost the team, the project, or the working relationship. Be accurate, not dramatic. 3 people came to me after that meeting to say they did not feel they could contribute as specific and honest. The whole team is demoralized is an inflation that invites a counter-argument. This step is where the conversation earns its weight. Impact is the reason for the conversation. If an expert employee is going to take your concern seriously, they need to hear that something real was affected, not just that you personally felt uncomfortable. When conflict patterns like this one persist between colleagues, the breakdown goes deeper than a single conversation. The DEAL method for resolving conflict that fracture team dynamics offers a structure for those longer-running situations. Step 4. Invite their perspective with a genuine question. Ask a real question and then listen properly. Not do you see how that came across, which is not a question at all. Something open. What was happening for you in that moment? Or how did you see that conversation going? You may hear something that adds genuine context. A technical expert may have known that Marcus's approach carried a serious risk the rest of the room was not aware of, and they handled the pressure badly. That does not excuse the behaviour, but it shapes how you respond. What you're watching for in this step is whether the employee engages honestly or whether they deflect into technical detail to move you away from the interpersonal concern. If they do deflect, name it calmly. I hear that the technical constraints were real. I want to come back to how the room was affected. That sentence keeps you in the conversation without dismissing them. If you feel a defensive reaction rising in yourself during this exchange, the core framework for staying grounded during tense workplace conversations gives you a reliable method for keeping your footing. Step 5. Be clear about what needs to change. This step is where many managers soften into vagueness because they feel awkward directing someone who clearly knows more than they do. Do not soften here. Be specific. What I need from you going forward is this: when you disagree with a colleague's direction in a meeting, you flag the concern without cutting them off. If the technical risk is serious, bring it to me before the meeting so we can address it together. That is a clear, actionable expectation. It does not require you to have technical knowledge. It requires you to hold a professional standard. Your employee can respect that, even if they find it inconvenient, because it is fair. And it is specific. Vague requests like just be more collaborative give them nothing to work with, and they give you nothing to return to in a follow-up. Step 6. Agree on a next step and name it. Close the conversation by confirming what happens next. A specific follow-up, not a vague intention. I will check in with you in 2 weeks. I will be paying attention to how the next 2 team meetings go. If it is working, I will tell you. If there is still a concern, we will talk again. That structure shows you are serious without being punitive. It gives the employee clarity about what success looks like, and it creates a natural moment for recognition if they do make the adjustment, which is exactly what you want, because recognition after a difficult conversation builds more trust than any single piece of praise in a karma moment. When the conversation happens remotely. Remote difficult conversations with technical experts carry an additional risk. The employee can control how much of themselves they reveal. On a video call, they can turn off their camera, claim a bad connection, or respond in clipped sentences that give you almost nothing to work with. A few adjustments make a real difference. First, send a brief note before the call that names the topic. I want to talk about how Tuesday's planning session ended. I will call you at 2:00. Do not write the full concern in the message. Just name the subject so they are not ambushed and so they arrive present rather than defensive. Second, keep the camera on for both of you if at all possible. Body language carries more of the conversation than words do in these moments. Third, speak a little more slowly than feels natural. The slight delay in digital audio means that pauses, which are important in any difficult conversation, need to be held a beat longer than in person. If tensions between team members have built to the point where remote conversations are not enough to repair the damage, the bridge method for rebuilding relationships after genuine breakdown offers a structured path forward. Where managers go wrong in this situation. Most of the errors I have seen in this specific situation come from the same root: the manager's discomfort with the knowledge gap. Here is where the discomfort leads people astray. The mistake: trying to prove technical competence during the conversation. Why it happens? The manager feels exposed and reaches for credibility by demonstrating they understand the work. What to do instead? Stay in your lane. Your authority is not technical. Say what you observed and what it affected. Do not wander into territory the employee knows better than you. The mistake: over-apologizing for not knowing the technical detail. Why it happens? It feels respectful. It is actually disarming. What to do instead? Acknowledge their expertise once, briefly, and then move on. You know the technical side of this better than I do. What I need to talk about is how this situation played out with the team. The mistake: accepting a technical explanation as a reason to drop the behavioural concern. Why it happens? The explanation sounds credible, and the manager does not want to seem ignorant by pushing back. What to do instead? Separate the two things clearly. I hear that the technical approach was sound. That is not what I'm raising. I'm raising how the decision was communicated. A useful framework for handling conflict when it surfaces in real time during a meeting can help you practice this kind of separation under pressure. The mistake. Ending without a clear expectation. Why it happens. The conversation felt tense, and the manager wants to close on a positive note. What to do instead? Warmth and clarity are not opposites. You can close with genuine respect and still name exactly what needs to change. Both things matter. When a defensive reaction comes up during the conversation itself, the core framework for staying calm, when feedback triggers defensiveness, gives you a practical method for recovering without losing ground. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Your pre-conversation checklist. Use this before every difficult conversation with a technical expert. It takes 5 minutes, and it will change how you walk into the room. Number 1. Write down the specific event you are addressing, what happened, when, and who was present. Number 2. Write down the concrete impact, what it cost the team, the project, or the working relationship. Number 3. Write 2 open questions. You will genuinely listen to the answers of. Number 4. Write the 1 clear expectation you will state before the conversation ends. Number 5. Identify your own discomfort. What part of this conversation makes you want to back off? Name it privately so it does not catch you off guard in the room. Number 6. Decide when and how you will follow up and plan to name that at the close of the conversation. That list is not complicated. But in my experience, most managers who walk into these conversations without it find themselves reacting to the employee rather than leading the exchange. Preparation is not a sign of anxiety. It is a sign of respect for the conversation and for the person you are having it with. For situations where 2 colleagues are locked in a pattern of refusing to cooperate and your role is to intervene as the manager, the deal method for diffusing tension between colleagues gives you a specific process for those triangulated conversations. Frequently asked questions. What is a difficult conversation manager approach when the employee is more technical? A difficult conversation manager approach in this context means leading from your role, not your technical knowledge. You focus on observable behavior, outcomes, and team impact rather than challenging the employee on technical grounds. Your authority is legitimate even when your expertise is narrower. How do you prepare for a difficult conversation with a technical expert? Write down the specific behaviors or outcomes you need to address before the conversation begins. Separate what you have observed from what you have assumed. Prepare 2 or 3 open questions that invite the employee to explain the technical context so you can respond to facts rather than impressions. How do you maintain authority in a difficult conversation when you lack technical knowledge? Your authority as a manager does not come from knowing more than your team. It comes from your responsibility for outcomes, team health, and professional standards. Stay in that lane. Address what you can see, the behavior and its impact, and let the employee own the technical detail. What should you avoid saying in a difficult conversation with a subject matter expert? Avoid language that attempts to challenge or correct their technical judgment when you lack the knowledge to do so credibly. Do not bluff and do not over-apologize for not knowing. State clearly what you observed, what impact it had, and what you need to change. Keep the conversation grounded in outcomes. How do you stop a technical expert from derailing a difficult conversation? When an employee uses technical complexity to redirect the conversation away from a behavioral or professional concern, name what is happening calmly. Say something like, I understand the technical context matters. What I need us to focus on right now is the impact on the team. That redirection keeps you in control. How do you follow up after a difficult conversation with an expert employee? Send a brief written summary within 24 hours that confirms what was agreed, not a formal document, just a clear note. Schedule a follow-up conversation within 2 to 3 weeks to review progress. This creates accountability without surveillance and shows the employee you take the outcome seriously. The knowledge gap between you and your most technically skilled people is not the obstacle. The obstacle is the belief that it disqualifies you from leading. It does not. A difficult conversation manager approach is built on clarity about what you saw, what it cost, and what you need to change. That clarity belongs to your role. Use it. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.